Welcome to Zichu Daf Simani Mamre Ram Goldar, and today we're Zechus Bab Metzia Daf Dal, the first parak Shneim Ochsin. This parak has been dedicated in memory of Mr. Moishe Horn, Rav Moshe Manes ben Yaakov Yitzchak, by his children Dvorah and Dov Elias. May his neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on: number one, Rabbi Chiya had to write from a Kal Vachomer that if Piv, partial admission, obligates a shvua, then certainly Edim who testified to part of a debt obligate a shvua. This is ultimately challenged because Piv has a relative strength, Shekin Eino B'Hachasha U'V'Hazama, that it is not subject to contradiction by Edim or Hazama because one is obligated by his admission even against 100 Edim, as opposed to Edim which can be discredited by other Edim. The Gemara then attempts to derive Rabbi Chiya's ruling from Eid Echad, a single witness, who does not obligate payment but obligates a Shavua denying his testimony. This is also rejected because this Shavua is against the actual testimony and cannot prove to swear about the amount beyond the testimony. The Gemara ultimately derives it from a Tzadah Shava, a common characteristic between Piv and a single aid, that as a result of a claim and denial they come to Basin, and the defendant swears when the claim is supported, as Tosos adds, so the same applies to aiding. Point number two, Rabbi Chiya had said that his ruling is supported by a mission which requires swearing when two people grasp the cloak, and each one's grasping is tantamount to testimony supporting his claim. This is rejected because the opposing claim is also supported by the same testimony. Rather, Rabbi Chiya approved another ruling of his from our Mishnah. If someone claims a mana from his fellow, who responds, I only owe you 50 zuz v'heilach, and here, it's yours, meaning they're unspent and still in the lender's legal possession, Rabbi Chiya says he must swear because it's still considered a mode of b'miksas. This is supported by our Mishnah where the litigants swear although the other party has possession of the half they're giving up. Rav Sheshe says one who admits with halach does not swear, because the admitted 50 zuz are kamandinaku milvadami. It's as if the lender is holding them in his hand and not part of the claim, and the remaining claim is fully denied. Rav Sheshe explains that our Mishnah is a rabbinic measure as explained on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, but Rabbi Chiya responds that it must reflect a biblical shvua. And point number three, Rabbi Chiya was challenged from a brisa, slime dinarim. If a shtar says the borrower owes slime or dinarim without an amount specified, and the lender claims the debt is 5 slime or dinarim, while the borrower claims it's 3, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says he must swear like an ordinary modi b'miksas, whereas Rabbi Akiva says he does not swear like one who returns lost property, since he voluntarily admitted to more than the 2 implied by the document. The Gemara infers that where the defendant only admits to 2, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar agrees he would not swear because the minimum amount recorded in the shtar, which includes a property lien, is akin to halach. This proves that a modi b'miksas does not swear in a case of halach. The Gemara ultimately answers that the reason he would not swear is the kamasai le'shtarav, because the document supports the borrower claiming the debt was 2 slime since no amount was recorded. Alternatively, he would not swear for a claim of 2 because the minimum of 2 indicated by the shtar has a lien on land, and one does not swear about a denial or admission of a lien on land. So once again, the 3 points are Rabbi Chiya had derived from a Kal Vachomer that if Piv, partial admission, obligates a Shvua, then certainly Edim who testified to part of a debt obligate a Shvua. This is ultimately challenged because Piv has a relative strength, Shekin Eino B'Hachasha U'V'Hazama, that it is not subject to contradiction by Edim or Hazama because one is obligated by his admission even against 100 Edim, as opposed to Edim which can be discredited by other Edim. The Gemara then attempts to derive Rabbi Chiya's ruling from Eid Echad, a single witness, who does not obligate payment but obligates a Shavua denying his testimony. This is also rejected because this Shavua is against the actual testimony and cannot prove to swear about the amount beyond the testimony. The Gemara ultimately derives it from a Tzadah Shava, a common characteristic between Piv and a single aid, that as a result of a claim and denial they come to Basin, and the defendant swears when the claim is supported, as Tosos adds, so the same applies to aiding. Point number two, Rabbi Chiya had said that his ruling is supported by a mission which requires swearing when two people grasp the cloak, and each one's grasping is tantamount to testimony supporting his claim. This is rejected because the opposing claim is also supported by the same testimony. Rather, Rabbi Chiya approved another ruling of his from our Mishnah. If someone claims a mana from his fellow, who responds, I only owe you 50 zuz v'heilach, and here, it's yours, meaning they're unspent and still in the lender's legal possession, Rabbi Chiya says he must swear because it's still considered a modi b'miksas. This is supported by our Mishnah where the litigants swear although the other party has possession of the half they're giving up. Rav Sheshe says one who admits with halach does not swear, because the admitted 50 zuz are kamandinaku milvadami. It's as if the lender is holding them in his hand and not part of the claim, and the remaining claim is fully denied. Rav Sheshes explains that our Mishnah is a rabbinic measure as explained on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, but Rav Chiya responds that it must reflect a biblical shvua. And point number three, Rav Chiya was challenged from a brisa, slime dinarim. If a shtar says the borrower owes slime or dinarim without an amount specified, and the lender claims the debt is 5 slime or dinarim, while the borrower claims it's 3, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says he must swear like an ordinary motive mixas, whereas Rabbi Kiva says he does not swear like one who returns lost property, since he voluntarily admitted to more than the 2 implied by the document. The Gemara infers that where the defendant only admits to 2, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar agrees he would not swear because the minimum amount recorded in the shtar, which includes a property lien, is akin to halach. This proves that a motive b'mixas does not swear in a case of halach. The Gemara ultimately answers that the reason he would not swear is the kamasai le'shtar, because the document supports the borrower claiming the debt was 2 slime, since no amount was recorded. Alternatively, he would not swear for a claim of 2 because the minimum of 2 indicated by the shtar has a lien on land, and one does not swear about a denial or admission of a lien on land. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Dalet, and our standard Siman is a Delet, a door. So here goes. The two Adim coming to testify to part of a debt to obligate a Shvua, who walked through a basin door with a picture of Piv and Ada Chud painted on them. Overheard one man tell another, I owe you only 50 zuz, v'helach, and here, it is yours. Standing behind a lender holding a shtar that just said slayim, without specifying an amount. Once again, slow motion. The two Adim coming to testify to part of a debt to obligate a Shvua, who walked through a basin door, that must mean we're on Dav, Dala, Dela, door. The two Adim coming to testify to part of a debt to obligate a Shvua, who walked through a basin door with a picture of Piv and Edechad painted on them, which reminds us Rabbi Chiya had derived from a Kal Vachomer, that if Piv partial admission obligates a Shvua, then certainly Adim who testified to part of a debt obligate a Shvua. The Gemara ultimately derives it from a tzad shava, a common characteristic between Piv and a single witness. That as a result of a claim and denial, they come to Basin. And the defendant swears when the claim is supported, as Tosos adds, so the same applies to Adim. So the two Adim coming to testify to part of a debt to obligate a Shvua, who walked through a Basin door with a picture of Piv and Edechad painted on them, overheard one man tell another, I owe you only 50 zuz v'helach, and here, it is yours, which reminds us Rabbi Chiya approved another ruling of his from our Mishnah. If someone claims a mana from his fellow who responds, I owe you only 50 zuz v'helach, and here, it's yours, meaning they're unspent and still in the lender's legal possession, Rabbi Chiya says he must swear because it's still considered a motive b'mixas. This is supported by our Mishnah where the litigants swear although the other party has possession of the half they're giving up. Rav Sheshes says one who admits with halach does not swear because the admitted 50 zuz are as if the lender is holding them in his hand and not part of the claim, and the remaining claim is fully denied. So the two Adim coming to testify as part of a debt to obligate a Shvua, who walked through a basin door with a picture of Piv and Edechad painted on them, overheard one man tell another, I owe you only 50 zuz v'halach, and here, it is yours. Standing behind a lender holding a shtar that just said slime without specifying an amount, which reminds us, Vichy was challenged from a brisa, slime dinarim. If a shtar says the borrower owes slime or dinarim without an amount specified, and the lender claims the debt is 5 slime or dinarim, while the borrower claims it's 3, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says he must swear like an ordinary motive b'mixas, whereas Rabbi Kiva says he does not swear like one who returns lost property, since he voluntarily admitted to more than the 2 implied by the shtar. So once again, the two Adim coming to testify to part of a debt to obligate a Shvua, who walked through a basin door with a picture of Piv and Edechad painted on them, overheard one man tell another, I owe you only 50 zuz v'helach, and here, it is yours. Standing behind a lender holding a shtar that just said slime without specifying an amount. All right, so now it's time for 4 Blabach Chazar. Daf Kuf Yud Ches. So the Siman Daf Kuf Yud Ches is Kichel. So here goes. The two men in a dispute where one said the other owed him a box of kichel. Kichel? That must be on Daf Kuf Yud Ches. The two men in a dispute where one said the other owed him a box of kichel, and the other said he wasn't sure if he owed him, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses one who claims to be owed a money from his fellow who responds that he does not know. Rav Huna and Rav Yudah say he must pay, bari b'shema, bari adif, where the claimant is certain and the defendant is uncertain, the claimant who is certain is stronger. Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yochanan say he's exempt, uke mamona b'chetzlis mare, keep the money in its current owner's possession until proof is brought. So the two men in a dispute where one said the other owed him a box of kichel, and the other said he wasn't sure if he owed him, didn't wake up the shepherd who's dreaming of sheep jumping over a kichel and wasn't aware of the thief returning a stolen sheep to the pen, which reminds us, the next Mishnah teaches that if one stole a sheep from someone's flock and returned it without notifying the owner, he remains responsible if it dies or it's stolen, meaning it remains in his domain until its proper return. If the owner was unaware of the theft and its return and counted the flock and found it complete, the thief is exempt from future damages. Four opinions are presented regarding returning stolen sheep, which impact the interpretation of the Mishnah. So the two men in a dispute where one said the other owed him a box of kikkel, and the other said he wasn't sure if he owed him, didn't wake up the shepherd who was dreaming of sheep jumping over a kikkel and wasn't aware of the thief returning a stolen sheep to the pen, and ignored the shepherd's wife who was trying to sell them some woolen garments, telling them to conceal them. Which reminds us, the Mishnah details materials that may be purchased from women without suspicion. They were taken from their husbands without permission, and adds, "Bakulan sha'amru hat min asir," but any woman who told the purchaser to conceal his purchase is prohibited to purchase it because it appears the item was stolen. Daf Kuf Yotes. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Yotes is a kite. So here goes. Well, the kite enthusiast, kite, that must be more in Daf Kuf Yotes. While the kite enthusiast directed his kamikaze kites to smash into the windows of an informer's home, which reminds us, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda argue about destroying Mamu Masur, the property of an informer. One held Mutu Abdul Biyad, it is permitted to destroy his property with one's hand, directly, because his money shouldn't be more stringent than his body. Since it's permitted to kill him, it stands to reason that his property may certainly be destroyed. The other held Asul Abdul, it's forbidden to destroy because perhaps he'll have righteous descendants. So, while the kite enthusiast directed his kamikaze kites to smash into the windows of an informer's home, while using his cop kite to stop a robber from stealing a small kite worth of Shabbat Pruta, since it's like taking away the victim's soul, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Kol gozlos chaveru shava pruta ki lo notin nishmas mimenu." Anyone who steals a pruta's worth from his fellow is as if he took his soul from him. So, while the kite enthusiast directed his kamikaze kites to smash into the windows of an informer's home, while using his cop kite to stop a robber from stealing a small kite worth of shava pruta, since it's like taking away the victim's soul, the craftsman he had commissioned to build him some more kites was busy at work and keeping the shavings, which reminds us, the final Mishnah lists materials left over from various crafts, such as threads removed by a launderer, a tailor, and others, and teaches which belong to the craftsman, because the owner of the original material is not particular about them, and which belong to the owner. Shavings removed by small tools belong to the carpenter, but those removed by a hatchet belong to the owner. It concludes, V'imaya ose etzo baal bais, if he was working on the owner's property, af ha'nasarim shel baal bais, even the sawdust from drilling belongs to the owner. Daf Beis. So the Simmer Daf Beis is a bais, a house. So here goes. Because of the conflicts in front of the tallest seller's house, that must be on Daf Beis, bais. Because of the conflicts in front of the tallest seller's house, involving two men holding on to opposite sides of a tallis, each claiming, "I found it," which reminds us, the opening Mishnah states, Shnaim ochsim batalis, two people came before Beis and holding a cloak. Zeomer ani mitzasiyah, v'zeomer ani mitzasiyah. This one says, "I found it," and this one says, "I found it." Zeomer kula shali, v'zeomer kula shali. This one says, "It's all mine," and this one says, "It's all mine." The law is that each one swears, she'en lo babachos mechesiyah, that he owns not less than half of it, v'yachaloku, and they divide it. So, because of the conflicts in front of the tallest seller's house, involving two men holding on to opposite sides of a tallis, each claiming, "I found it," and two other men claiming to be the buyer of a talus, which reminds us, the Gemara asks why the Mishnah describes two cases where each claims, "I found it," and where each claims, "It's all mine." After the first suggestion is rejected, it concludes, Reisha b'metzia v'seifa b'mekach u'memkar. The first case of "I found it" refers to a found cloak, and the second case, where they said, "It's all mine," refers to a case of buying and selling, where each claims to be the buyer. The Gemara explains that if only one case was taught, one might have thought that only in that case one might rationalize that he's not stealing outright. So, because of the conflicts in front of the tallis seller's house, involving two men holding onto opposite sides of a tallis, each claiming, "I found it," and two other men claiming to be the buyer of a tallis, a basin was set up where taking a shvua was required by the rabbanan to divide the items, to prevent people from grabbing cloaks of others and claiming it is theirs, which reminds us, the Gemara asks that the Mishnah which rules the cloak is divided with the Shavua does not accord with Simchas, who holds, Mamun ha-mutu b'safek chokim below Shavua. Money whose ownership is uncertain is divided between them without a Shavua. The Gemara concludes that the Shavua is a special takana de Rabbanan, Shavua ye ko echov echod holch v'tocha v'talisar shal chavero v'omer shalihu, so that every person should not go and seize his fellow's cloak and claim, "It's mine." Daf Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Gimel is a gamal, a camel. So here goes. The camel, that must be more on Daf Gimel, Gamal. The camel hired to take away three coins until Eliyahu comes, even though only the third coin was in dispute. Which reminds us that the Mishnah's ruling to divide the cloak does not accord with Rabbi Yossi's ruling, where two people deposited money with someone, one leaving one mana and the other leaving two mana, and they later dispute who left two mana. The Rabbans say the third mana is withheld until proof is brought, but Rabbi Yossi says, Im ken mahip sid rama. If so, what does the deceiver lose by deceiving? El hakol ye munach ad sheyavo Eliyahu. Rather, it should all be set aside until Eliyahu comes to induce him to confess. Here too, the cloak should be withheld. The Gemara answers that in the coin case, it's because the third coin definitely belongs to only one of them and cannot be divided. In our Mishnah, it's possible they picked up the cloak simultaneously and jointly own it. Since each party may truly believe he's the owner, Rabbi Yossi would agree to divide it. So the camel hired to take away three coins until Eliyahu comes, even though only the third coin was in dispute. Stopped to pick up two Edim who testified that a man owed 50 zuz of 100 zuz claim, making him take a shavua on the remainder, which reminds us, Rabbi Chiya taught that if one claims a mana, which is 100 zuz, from his fellow, which the defendant denies completely, and witnesses testify that he owes 50 zuz, he pays the 50 zuz and swears on the remainder, like one who confesses to part of a claim. For the admission of his own mouth should not be greater than the testimony of Edim based on a Kal Vachomer. So the camel hired to take away three coins until Eliyahu comes, even though only the third coin was in dispute. Stopped to pick up two Edim who testified that a man owed 50 zuz of 100 zuz claim, making him take a shvua on the remainder. But had no room for the man who was motive and mixes to his creditor because he wasn't brazen enough to deny his total obligation. Which reminds us, Rabbah asks, why did the Torah say that one who admits to a part of a claim must swear about his denial? He should be exempt for having volunteered the partial admission. He answered, Chazakin adam meis pana bifnei bal chovo. It's because there's a presumption that a person is not so brazen as to deny his obligation to the face of his creditor. The Gemara explains that the reason we do not say, since he's willing to lie and steal part of the debt, he would also swear falsely, is because this person would really want to admit to the full debt. He didn't because he's merely evading the creditor to stall until he has the money to pay. Therefore, the Torah required him to swear, so he admits completely. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do we focus if one is permitted to destroy an informer's property? That's on daf Kuf Yud Tes. Good. Number two, which daf do we focus about swearing by Halach? Here, it's yours. That's on daf Dalin Bamasiya. Good. Number three, which daf did we learn why Rabbi Yossi holds in the case of a disputed third coin that all three coins should be put away, but agrees in the case of a talis, Yochaloku, that's on daf Gimel. Good. Number four, which daf did we machok is if Bari Beshema, Bari Adif, or Uki Memanu Becheskos Mari, that's on daf Kuf Yud Ches. Good. Number five, which of the one that the Rabbanim of Takan and Shavuah so that people should not go around grabbing cloaks off others and claiming it's theirs, that's on daf Vayis and Bava Metzia. Good. Number six, which daf do you discuss swearing about a shtar that does not have a specified amount? That's on daf Dalet and Bava Metzia. Good. Number seven, which daf do you the case of a river flooding stolen land and the question if karka nigzelis, if land can be stolen? That's on daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Good. Number eight, which daf do we learn when bandits accept ransom from people in a caravan? They calculate the members' contributions to the ransom by the amount of money each one is carrying. That's on daf Kufta Zayin. Good. Number nine, which of the one that witnesses who testify to part of a debt obligate a shvua, and that's learned from a tzad shava of piv ve'edachad, that's on daf Dalet. Good. And number 10, which of the one the reason why motive b'miksas swears, that's on daf Gimel b'matzia. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.